Welcome at the Grow Tribute podcast, with this time the topic, staying fit while working hard. And therefore, I invited the French entrepreneur, Olivier Malafronta. I know Olivier only for a few weeks. That's when we bonded over shared experiences of working hard and dealing with stress and staying in sports rhythm. Olivier is a coach and he is the founder of Pocket Confidant AI, a startup and technology that is democratizing self-coaching. Olivier has worked and lived in more than 5 countries and he has been an entrepreneur for the past 7 years. Throughout his career, he found interesting techniques and tactics to deal with his back pain and stress in general. He started doing daily exercises. He mostly stands while working. And he is very much in tune with his mental and physical well-being. Today, I will ask Olivier about his health habits, how he minimizes standing while working. He mostly sits, by the way. And what he does on weekends to stay healthy and balanced. What you will learn from this episode is how you can stay fit and healthy and even get healthier in busy periods and throughout your career. So enjoy. So Olivier, welcome here at the Grow Tribute podcast. Yeah, we had a very nice conversation just a few weeks ago, right after you reached out to me and you shared with me that you have an interesting strategy and use interesting techniques to stay in touch with your mental and physical well-being in the midst of busy career, running a business, having a busy life. So that conversation that we had really struck me, and I thought, okay, we really should have you in the Grow Tribute podcast. So again, welcome, and I think it's just nice to start with your journey, your own story. Where did it start?
Good morning, Leonard, and thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to speak about this topic. I think that is touching everyone today. So not only me or you, but it's a very important topic. And so about my journey, since I was a kid, I wanted to invent something. I wanted to create. At the beginning, I wanted to be an engineer, but then it's been evolving. So I knew, I wanted to create something, with technology, but I was also very, passionate about the human side, the psychology, the human behavior, our decisions, how we behave with others. My dad is an entrepreneur, has set up his company and consulting for training in action. My uncle is a psychologist and psychotherapist, so they worked together for years, with psychology and, in the field of training. And eventually I also became a coach. So I started my first coaching certification back in 2014 and 2015. And I'm about to go back now into another level of training and a different one. So that's how my journey started, with these kind of role models into the side of training, psychology, and then business creation. When I was doing my coaching training, that took me to think about a new kind of technology called Pocket Confidant, but that we call a self-coaching technology that enable us, people to do this kind of, self-coaching, self-training. So I'm also French, I was born in the south of France in between the mountains and the sea. So in terms of my personal journey, I've been educated with a very favorable background, right, for nature exposure, for sports, for diversity in sport activity. So I grew up, with a very big balance in between, studying, working, and enjoying the environment and myself. That being said, maybe what I can add about my journey is traveling, working, and living in different countries. By the age of 25, I've been living and working in 5 different countries between US, Europe, and Asia, with Hong Kong and the Philippines. Kind of busy, but good, and always keeping a good balance. That's a short summary of my journey.
Interesting. Yeah, you grew up and you had these role models in entrepreneurship and psychology, and you always had a lot of the outdoors very close to you, the mountains, the sea. So you did a lot of sports. At what age did you go abroad?
I was still a student when I started to do my internships and first work experiences abroad. So, you know, I think I was like 20, 20, 21 was my, you know, during my bachelor. And so I started to actually the first country where I went to live was Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I was working there with a tech company, Fortune 500. And then after that, you know, I've been going to live in Silicon Valley for another kind of work, you know, job and internship with the same company. And then after my diploma, yeah, so maybe I was 23, 24 years old. I went to live in between Hong Kong and the Philippines for about a year and a half. So all that before age 25.
Did you work in tech?
No, when I was in Asia, I had my degree in my pocket and I started to jump into entrepreneurship because I wanted to create startups. So I was hired by a digital, like e-commerce design, you know, design, furniture design, fashion design items. So I was working with designers, with creators, and the goal was to create them online. And then I started, you know, I was also very active in the entrepreneur scene. So I started to create other digital startups like travel industry or logistics industry before going back to France and getting on coaching and, you know, psychology and human behavior.
But before you started also with your coaching certificate. You also shared with me that you went to Paris to do a traineeship, I think 7 years or so ago. And you also shared that was a time where you experienced more stress.
If we now touch the topic of physical well-being and mental well-being, yeah, I think that what's very interesting is the journey started when I was doing my master's, actually, the last year of my master's. So I was doing an apprenticeship in Paris for a big company. I was apprenticeship kind of trainee, but I was working full time, right? So I was marketing assistant. And I think it wasn't really a right fit with me, with the team, or with the boss, with the manager. And so basically it was very frustrating. It was very stressful because I wanted to do more. Actually, I had been hired, you know, to do something very specific. And in the end, I wasn't really, you know, exploiting all my resources, all my knowledge and everything I could be achieving. I was, you know, I was really like, you know, asked to be something very, very like, I don't want to say too simple. I didn't have like the kind of the freedom to experiment more things or even to reveal more of my talents. I was kind of in a box. And basically the only thing I was able to do is to stay sitting every day on the chair, looking at your laptop, and then basically having the stress of not delivering the quality that I wanted, not really inspired by the work, not really motivated, and then having the pressure from a boss that was everything but empathetic, everything but human-centered, and was more kind of putting pressure and, you know, trying to put you down instead of elevating you and empowering you. So basically, it was very tough because that was for a one-year contract, going to work every day, and things started to go pretty bad, like at month number six. So for, you know, I almost dropped everything, like the, you know, the studies, the thesis and the work, but I didn't because I'm also very persevering. But basically I was going to work, you know, with stomach ache, you know, multiple times a week, staying, sitting every day. This is when, you know, for the first time I've been experiencing back pain and I was locking my back and I was just 22 years old. So I was pretty young and, you know, I always have been doing a lot of sports. I'm in a pretty good shape. And so for the first time I was locking my back. And so I had to call the osteopath, you know, come home. I did that maybe two or three times the same year. And then it kind of, you know, after I ended my degree, my thesis and the work was over and I was able to move on. Then basically everything faded away and I didn't have any issue, you know, on my back like for years and years. And I went back into sport, into competition, into like kind of hard training. I had no issue. And then things, you know, went back again, you know, with this kind of like a back pain and looking the back, etc. When basically I repeated the same patterns. So a couple of years after, when I was actually starting my startup, I was, you know, sitting a lot. So I was taking the train, you know, between Nice and Paris. You know, we do all the meetings sitting, you know, with the clients, you know, with people. So I was like sitting all day. And, you know, my main working instrument is the laptop. And of course, even though I'm passionate and I'm very motivated, you know, with what I'm doing, because I could be doing that all day long. Actually, that's the issue, is that sitting and working with all the stress and the kind of fast-paced environment of the startups where you have pressure, you know, from all directions, the kind of symptoms that I was describing earlier, like, you know, locking my back or back pain, then started to come back. So it came back like once in 2017. Then, you know, I went to the physician and then we got that unlocked. Then I was okay for a year. And then it went back again in 2018. And then it went back again, like during COVID. Because during COVID, even though I was doing, you know, a bit of sports, I was like sitting too much. And I was sitting in some form of stress, right? Because it's not necessarily, I'm not talking about stress where it's kind of a unpleasant stress. Actually, I think what I'm speaking about here is maybe the worst one is the pleasant stress. It's the stress that can, you know, make you inspired, you know, it's like motivated, and you want to work more because you are fulfilling yourself, you are enriching yourself, you're learning, and you're realizing your vision as an entrepreneur, right? And this is a big, big risk, because basically it has you forget about your well-being. You don't feel anything because you're in a good shape and you're used to be someone that goes well. You don't think about all that, and so you tend to forget.
Yeah, the flow state can actually also be dangerous because you're forgetting about time and place. It can be dangerous, right?
I think you step out from kind of a mindful approach, or you step out from a full awareness about everything that is going on. So you are so much, you know, absorbed by the work or the activity you're doing, and then you go beyond, you go too far. Right. So I think that what's very important is to discipline yourself and to very regularly question what you're going to do, how long you should do it, or also, like, you know, take micro pauses, even if it's just 30 seconds, and just to check with yourself and say, okay, so do I feel any tension somewhere? Or I've been sitting on that chair for X amount of time, right? Or some people use like Pomodoro techniques, for instance. They put alarm clocks and every 30 minutes, you know, they stand up and they do something. It's a big question of self-observation, discipline, and being able to challenge what you do and kind of accept and agree that if you want to keep doing what you do in the best manner, you have to make pauses. I mean, you have to change the way you work, right? So it's challenging yourself, challenging your habits, challenging the way you do things, so that you can do them in a more sustainable way.
To summarize, yeah, you always had a very active lifestyle. You lived in several countries. You found out about tech and technology is a really interesting field of coaching. Psychology really has your interest. So there, psychology, coaching, and technology comes together. You're interested. You had some kind of a detour when you worked in Paris, because at that moment, you did something that wasn't aligned with who you are and what you should be doing. So you changed that. So after your apprenticeship, your traineeship, you moved towards your current company, Pocket Confident. So everything, yeah, that actually is important for you came together. But then the danger became, even with retaining an active lifestyle, don't work too hard.
Whether you're, you know, I've been experiencing like working on something or doing a life that wasn't aligned to, you know, what I wanted to achieve for myself. And also I experienced, you know, what it is to do something that is aligned with yourself, you know, and you're never sick and you're always inspired. You wake up in the morning, you know, without alarm clock, you're always filled with the energy, you know, to work and inspire others. So, you know, this is great. But the great experience is that experiencing, you know, both of that doesn't prevent you to hurt your physical health and even your mental health. So mental health is fine because I know my processes. I have good friends. I do different things basically to get into dialogue either with myself or with others. So in terms of, you know, sport as well, or with my routines, with my discipline, I kind of, you know, train my mental, you know, well-being to, you know, and sharpen it and challenge it. But I think that where I was lacking education, or let's say training or discipline, was on the physical health, because one of the pitfall, or like the trap that I've been identifying by speaking with you, is that when you're someone who does sport, someone who never has health issues, you're never sick, and you feel always good, right? You are in a setup, you're in a habit of I'm good, I'm strong, or I'm not aware when things go bad in my health or in my body. And so, especially if you do something you're passionate about, and if you forget about your body because your mind is, you know, focused on something else, then it becomes very, very tricky and very hard to be in this kind of like self-noticing or self-observation of your body. So it's where I would like, you know, the message, you know, I want to give for any kind of person that maybe like me, you know, passionate about what they do, and maybe a sport person, you know, in a good shape, etc. You should always question what you know and what you don't know, or what you do and what you don't do, right? So for instance, if you stop training your back muscles, and if you stop working on a chair, then you're going to hurt yourself. And so you have to do the kind of exercise that would keep your lower back with good muscles, right? You have to question your positions. You have to question how what you're doing is going to impact your either mental health or physical health.
When you are working in flow and you forget about time, then you say it's important to take breaks, perhaps set an alarm clock to take breaks and don't sit too long and those kind of things. In those moments of breaks, not working, how do you actually feel what your body needs? Or because I think in the end it's very important to stay in tune with what your body, your mind needs. Is there other techniques for that?
Sometimes, you know, like people, like even my friends or me, you know, in the past, not now, but you can bypass means, or you can forget many things because you're fueled with the energy. But basically what it does is that it gives you this kind of adrenaline and it enables you to go further, but you're also like consuming, you know, your energy, your focus, you know, your brain capacities, your health, your body capacities, you're consuming everything. So if you do that sometimes, if you do that, you know, one day a week, 2 days a week, or that's fine. But otherwise, if you do that every day, basically it's like you're consuming basically your body and your mind like every day, right? Every month and then for years. Because if you create a business, sometimes it can just take, you know, years, right, to be working the way you want, and you always have new goals and things like that. So it's very complicated. Especially, I think I want to go back on this detail. When you're someone who basically never had health issues or body issues, you're not equipped with the right habits. You're not equipped with the right mechanisms. You don't pay enough attention. You don't put your awareness and your focus on questioning, you know, what you're doing. Okay, what I'm going to do now? Is it good for me? Is it going to sustain my work, or is it going to hurt me? We don't ask ourselves these questions. And I think that this is really, you know, what, when you get into injuries, you know, a couple of times, or when you start having patterns that go beyond like the 10 years, then at some point, you know, you have to really become aware of that, and you have to put yourself under question. Sometimes it's too late, because you have to go into hurting yourself to realize that. Today you have many techniques, like you have like meditation helps you to do screening. I don't necessarily do that myself, but you know, some people teach the body screening, the body scan. I've been trying it. You know, that can be I think actually it's a good thing to be trying sometimes, or to be doing, because it's just going to train your brain circuits, or your habits, going to create habits, thinking habits that are going to be connected to your body, so that when something changes, you can feel it better. But also, you know, asking yourself questions. Like when you go and work, how much time am I going to work? Oh, okay, I'm going to sit now. Is the position good? Is the chair and the table the right position? You know, it takes a couple of seconds to question that and to take a decision. So what we do with coaching, right? And I think this is where the techniques can be shared, is the more you question what you do and the more you train yourself to put your attention, right, on the questioning of the habits, you empower yourself. Basically, you become able to break the habit or to change it. Yeah. So first, you know, you question the action that you're doing or that you're about to do. You question whether this is what you want, what you need, what you should do. And then based on what you realize, if you think, okay, you know, I'm going to sit, but I should not sit more than an hour, then when you know that, then you question the outcome or what you would do instead. So if I should not stay, you know, more than 1 hour, what do I do? Okay, I set up an alarm clock, or I just work a little bit here, and then I go standing somewhere else, right? So these, I think, you know, these are techniques that we use a lot in coaching. Is all about questioning and training ourselves so that we can really shape the habits of questioning what we do, and so that we can get out of the habits more easily than if we don't question it.
Don't only have awareness for things outside you, but also for what's happening inside you. Do these body scans to have some kind of a radar of what's going on in your body, but also not only how your body feels or what it needs, but also the things that happen in your mind, your beliefs, your habits. You say, okay, question the things that you say, question the things that you regularly do. And that's probably the first step of changing.
Exactly. And there are, I mean, there are many different things that you can do. Like, you know, we have more and more, you know, whether it's online or physical, right, the yoga classes or meditation classes or the group sport or any kind of like communities or clubs. I mean, today we have like so many concepts, so many services, so many products, so many apps. All those, you know, can be, basically we're all different. And I think we also need to find what's going to work for ourselves. questioning what you do, questioning yourself, and you know, training yourself on being aware of what you do and what you don't is very complicated. And like I've been experiencing myself, you know, sometimes you also fall into the trap. So I guess that building some kind of routines or disciplining yourself, like to, you know, register with some kind of community, sport activity, relaxation activity, or artistic activity, anything, and understand that, you know, if you work in certain positions, then question your positions, find techniques, create your own tactics to cut the workday into different pieces, maybe into two or three different pieces. Allow yourself, then there is the whole, and you know, there's the whole side of acceptance and taking pleasure in what you do, because the way also the mental, the mind work is that if you don't find pleasure in what you do, sometimes it's very hard, you know, to go there, right? So like taking a pause, if you really want to finish your work and your task, your brain is going to drive your attention to work while you should be taking a pause actually to do even a better work. So just accepting that it's part of the game, and that going on a balcony or just taking, you know, just standing for 5 minutes or even 10 minutes is going to make you better. Then you, this is where you have to challenge yourself and kind of, you know, find the pleasure, find the benefits, find the positive outcome in everything that you could be doing, because it's going to help you, it's going to help your brain make that decision, feel good with the decision. Yeah. And if you can do that, then it's going to build a habit, right? Yeah. Because the body, the brain, you know, the brain works this way. It has to reward the actions. If things become too hard, motivation goes down and you cannot make the decision, right?
You want to get to feedback loops where you think about, okay, how am I doing? How am I feeling? What should I be doing differently? Is there something underneath? Because it can sound quite exhausting to constantly be coaching yourself and tweaking little things, improving little things. Although we all know it's beneficial, it will help, it will help us to feel better. But sometimes it can be a little bit destructive. If I look at myself, I know some things are important for me, but then I still don't do it. Is that a matter of improving your mindset, so knowing why you're doing it, your purpose, so you won't be destructive, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, you're right. It's, you know, I don't like self-coach constantly. I mean, in the end, you know, it's like I've built, I think, natural behaviors. You know, if I, you know, right now I'm standing, for instance, and, you know, I can stand for a while, but then at some point, you know, you just feel that your body needs to move. And so when I start, you know, needing to move, or I have a bottle of water, when the water is done, right, when I don't have like water left in my bottle, I can go take a walk. I go to the kitchen, I take maybe 5 minute break, or I call a friend, or I can just sit in a sofa for 5 minutes. So I think it's not even, I don't want to give the picture of, we have to monitor ourselves, you know, constantly, or self-coach. No, because that's going to be exhausting. And I think, you know, we're not able to do that. It's why there are many, many apps, I think, that are trying to do that with the gaming, etc. It's kind of to challenge ourselves regularly for the better. Let's say it this way. Challenge yourself regularly for the better. Because in doing that, you are creating the habits to create breaks. Right? It's just about like, not letting yourself shape the habit. You know, it's like you have a white paper with a pen and you do, you know, you do just one, like one shape, and then you do the same shape over again, over and over. At the end, it becomes very thick and you cannot even erase it because you've been just going over too many times. Yeah. And kind of the brain circuits, you know, the habits, they work the same way. The goal would be that you can, you know, challenge yourself, or play, you know, I could say play with yourself to not be reinforcing the wrong habits, right? And do something else. So some people, they work in different places every day. Like some of my friends, they work very little at home, and they go to bars, they go to the beach, they go to other places. So these, for instance, create the habit of not staying in the same environment for too long. And because they have this habit, if they stay in a room for 3 hours in a row, they're going to feel exhausted. They're going to feel it. And so they're going to stop working, naturally speaking. Yeah. You see what I mean? So that's taking a bottle of water with you, or you can reflect. So that's where I go back to just question yourself on what, you know, what can be the strategies, what can be the tactics that you can put in place so that you can train yourself in being more autonomous into this kind of disconnection like healthy disconnection moments, like, you know,
collecting habits,
taking a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't need to self-coach and monitor yourself. Like, you know, I don't have any watches. I don't measure my heartbeat. I mean, I feel stuff, right? And I don't ask myself questions on that. I don't want to create more stress on my side. I don't measure my sleep, or I sleep well, right? So I don't have an issue with that. But I don't control my body. I don't try to measure everything. I try to do that also in a way that is pleasant for me. Otherwise, I become a robot and I become even more stressed, right? I think.
Yeah. So there are several kinds of stressors. Some stressors can be kind of positive because they are just work that brings you in a flow state, but it can still be dangerous. Yeah. So you're saying you should get stronger and get better habits and improve your environment, so you can actually better deal everything that life throws at you. So we've been talking about several strategies and habits already. Can you share with me some exercises or things that you do during the day, how you set up your own environments to get stronger and to get more better?
Yeah. So I work from home. Well, maybe everyone works, you know, many people work from home, but I've been working from home, like, you know, for years. So being in a digital. So the way, for instance, I set up, you know, my room or my office or the environment where I work, when, you know, my apartment, I have, you know, there's a table with a chair where I eat, for instance. I know I can also put the laptop and sit for a little while and then work sitting, but I don't stay, you know, I don't sit much. I have, like right now where I am, I have shelves. I have a system that can carry my laptop. So I put the laptop on it and it enables me to have the laptop at the right. It's kind of a standing station. So I didn't purchase the whole standing station, but I built my own standing station, because sometimes at home you already have the equipment, right? You just need maybe one little and inexpensive additional equipment, right? Just to kind of lift your laptop. Like, if you have a shelf, if you have some kind of furniture, you can put everything on top and basically you're at the right height. Yeah, so I have different rooms, right? So I can work from the kitchen, I can work from a balcony, or I have a standing station, you know, and a chair in my own room so that I can stand, I can change positions. I have a yoga mat, you know, and sometimes I can take a 5 minute break. I can do some kind of, you know, little yoga exercises that I know are beneficial for my back. So actually I'm being followed also by a physician. So I make sure that I keep educating myself on what are the right exercise that I need to do for myself. So that's also something that I think we all have, people have to understand. We are all very different based on our, you know, history, based on the kind of sport that we practice, or based on the kind of injuries that we had. So finding the right specialist or finding the right information to educate yourself about who you are, the shape of your body, and what you should do and not do. And then just educate yourself a little bit with some of the exercises that are very good for you. And then you do them like 2-3 times a day, even 5 minutes, right? For instance, my physician, you know, tells me, you know, you can do like the cobra, right? So it's like you kind of lay on your belly, right? And then you just go up like this for a few seconds. And then you do that, like, you do that 10 times. Yeah. So it takes you, what, maybe 5 minutes. So it's good because, you know, you disconnect from the screen. You focus on your breath, on your breathing. Then you do this exercise. It's going to stretch your back. And then when you do that, maybe you take a walk to the kitchen, right? So I think what's very important to understand is step into the game of creating your own strategies and tactics, right? Yeah. We have to be our own academic researcher, like be the researcher of your best routines, your best environments, your best setup, right? Yeah. And basically if you have, so we go back to the mindset. If you have this mindset of kind of self-coaching or coaching yourself, asking you a few questions, you know, sometimes, but regularly, not all day long, so that you can create, set up the environments that fits with you, with the kind of activity you have, be curious about your own body, observe the patterns, your life. Like, you know, for me, I was recently going, you know, looking at all these symptoms for the last, you know, 10 years to really understand everything that was working, not working, right? And so it takes a bit of time. Sometimes you don't figure out all the solutions right away in the same day. Sometimes you need a couple of days, a couple of weeks. You know, it's kind of making yourself better in a way. It doesn't come overnight. It's a process. Yeah. So, you know, like we should not kind of create a stress on that. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we're just not perfect the first time. And it's fine if we can just go and try little things. We make experiments. Yeah. We see how these experiments benefit us, right? And so that we train ourselves to do experiments and then get this kind of like biofeedback or psychological feedback to understand if it's good. Yeah, so setting up our environment, understanding if we want to work from home, if we want to go out, if we like the noise or not, if we want music or not. Setting up standing stations, sitting stations, changing yoga positions. Having like kind of a carpet or a yoga mat where you can sometimes just lay down, do a few exercises. So based on your body shape and what you have. So for me, like many sitting workers, we need to stretch the back. So this kind of cobra thing is, you know, like the McKenzie technique, right? Because that's the McKenzie technique. You do that 2 times a day, even 1 time a day. You do 10 repetitions, and it takes you. You can do that almost everywhere, and it takes you. It takes you just 5 minute break. Yeah. Then drinking water. Then also having good eating habits. Because also eating can impact the way you focus, you work, and you feel, and allowing yourself sometimes to do wrong or to not do it. That's also what I do. It's like, we cannot be chasing the perfection all the time, because that's also, can be hurting ourselves. Otherwise, we judge ourselves, we're not satisfied about our performance, and that can also start to create habits that are not very good. So I think it's kind of, this kind of like self-coaching concept, right? It's to be friend with yourself, and it's to follow yourself. It's just to be gentle with yourself. And sometimes you challenge yourself and say, hey, you haven't done that, or what you should do, to be better. And then it's like, okay, it's fine. You want to eat that? Go ahead. Or, okay, you don't want to stand, or you want to sit? Okay. It's like, it's just being friend with yourself, but a friend that is challenging and benevolent in the same time.
Yeah.
Right. That would be my theory. My thesis is this one is a balance of challenging yourself and disciplining yourself, but in the same time, just accepting that, you cannot do always the perfect action. Right.
What I do is my food, my diet is quite good on average, but sometimes I eat something like a big pizza or why hamburger. Not? It's not a problem, but I just try to feel what happens, how I feel afterward. Yeah. And I really, really feel the difference in my body after eating a salad or after eating a hamburger.
Yeah. So you see, speaking about that, for instance, it very like, it's sometimes what's the hardest part is into the nuance of things. So for instance, you want to eat a hamburger. Okay. And try one day you eat one entire hamburger, and maybe another day you just eat half of that and you keep half for later or for tomorrow. Right. And you can already see a lot of changes. So sometimes it's like, people that will say, nutrition coaching or nutrition habits, or even like just, coaching lifestyle. Yeah, we have to basically put ourselves into unpleasant situations and challenge ourselves all the time. Some people may perceive it this way, but it's not necessarily, this way that works the best. If you want to eat hamburgers, okay, maybe don't eat that at every meal or not every day. Or then it depends also, do you go to McDonald's or do you cook your own hamburger at home, right? There are many different nuances. And if you like to eat hamburger often because it makes you happy and inspired and satisfied by yourself, then maybe eat hamburger, but maybe a smaller size, a better quality, just eat half of that.
And enjoy it.
Right? You have to challenge yourself as much as you enjoy yourself. If you don't have this balance, at some points, you're going to fall into an imbalance.
Yeah.
And then frustration is going to appear. And the goal, I would say the goal when we do this self-coaching thing is not about, the whole concept is not about monitoring everything about your mind and your body. It's about just training yourself to feel the balance, right? So you have to exactly just be aware. And if you missed something or if you did bad in one thing, okay, fine. Then maybe just, reflect on it. And just set up yourself for the day after to do something different. And you will be super satisfied because you will be satisfied about your own awareness and the fact that you were able to make a little change. Yeah. And, in coaching, we have this concept of baby steps, just doing small changes, just improving one little nuance. But just the fact of doing that, it's a huge success.
It started
like you go outside for sport, but you're tired. Just do 15 minutes of sport. You're not obliged to do an hour, right? Yeah. And your mind and your body is going to thank you because you're going to keep your energy and you will still, you know, do your activity. So the balance is something.
We are sometimes too black and white. Then we feel like eating something bad, and then we eat a very big fast food meal. But we can also do a smaller one. And the same goes for exercising. Sometimes you don't feel like, but even doing 5 push-ups is better than no push-ups.
Exactly.
Small.
And sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I come from a sport background where I used to be satisfied when I was like pushing myself hard. Mm-hmm. I've been doing like 15 years of full contact karate, martial arts. And so I was in this kind of like military training where you push yourself, you know, very hard into the red zone.
Yeah.
And it took me a couple of years. So that's basically the questioning the habits, right? Questioning what I want to do for myself or how I can better myself. I started one day to understand that maybe I was not perceiving sport the right way, right? Like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I was starting to say, okay, I need a better balance.
Yeah.
And I was noticing that sometimes, you know, like I wake up in the morning or if I have a meeting in 1 hour, I don't have the time to do all the sport that I want. And so I was kind of putting physical activity aside because I was projecting that I wasn't having enough time, but actually I had enough. I just had to do less. And sometimes, nowadays I can go outside and do just 20 minutes of sport.
Yeah.
Right. So my everyday routine morning is more, I do an hour sport, but last Sunday I was tired after a big Saturday and I just went for 20 minutes and I was recharged. I was happy. I didn't miss my sport day. And then Monday I did nothing.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize what your focus is in life. And I think you are building a company that you really believe in. You also want to maintain a social life. And you want to stay healthy. You want to have fun. You want to, do other things as well. You probably have a lot of other interests. But you're not a pro athlete. You could have chosen perhaps to become one. But then other areas of your life, you would have needed to sacrifice that perhaps. But now, your sports are actually probably, are going to help you to actually probably enjoy life, but also to get stronger, to be more value in your business and to contribute more.
Yeah.
Right. It's
and I create my own little performance and I'm happy with that. So, when I go, every morning I go out and I do biking and swimming. I'm not preparing for, and I swim faster than last year, for instance, right? But I do 30 minutes, maybe 40, sometimes 20, but I do like between maybe 2 kilometers maximum, sometimes slower, sometimes faster. And, sometimes I just don't want to push myself. I don't have like the kind of the mental for that, but I still do it, relax. And sometimes I push myself and I improve my timing and it's kind of, I don't measure myself with others. So I don't use any app to actually, I have no watch, no apps. I never monitor myself. And the thing is that I reward myself by just feeling that effort and by just pushing me a bit, right? So it's my own performance. And my goal is to go back home and to be fueled with good energy and inspiration so that I can have a great day of work and I can socialize with other people, etc., and have energy for other activities, right? So I think I see a lot of friends, monitoring things, measuring KPIs, etc. So I think that's also a big question is, what do you want? What do you want to achieve in life? And then sometimes you just have to make choices and understand that you can do one activity, but maybe you don't need to monitor it. You do it because it's going to do good for you, and it's going to help you create your foundation to be happy and satisfied about yourself and enjoy life.
Yeah.
But every morning when I go out and I jump into the sea, even if in the winter every day, it's also a way for me to take time for myself and to be satisfied about the fact that I go out and I challenge myself and I become stronger by doing that. And I don't need to compare myself to others.
No. And you just feel alive. You just feel aligned with nature. And it's also the criticism I have with the whole biofeedbacking, biohacking community. But even with goal setting, people that that put everything into statistics or Excel sheets, or use a lot of tools and software tools and apps. I think what sometimes they're missing is the spiritual side and feeling your body, feeling what you need, feeling alive, and just let things happen sometimes.
It really depends how you do it. I'm not this kind of app user and system user, but I do think they're beneficial. Like, you know, today, like entrepreneurs and tech or the guys are building really, really amazing stuff. And so I think you have also like different kind of people, like monitoring people. And you have some people, they monitor everything and they forget about themselves, pretty much what you're saying. Yeah. But other people, they have maybe a more stats or numbers mindset, which is great, right? But they also connect to themselves, and sometimes they know how to put the monitoring aside. Sometimes they know how to not rely only on numbers and stats. And again, we go back to mindset. We go back to questioning what you do. So whether you use apps or not, whether you monitor yourself or not, whether you compare yourself or not, I think, again, it's, you know, the concept that I'm working on, you know, with my technology or my passion, my work and my vision, is this concept of kind of self-coaching and questioning yourself. It's all about bringing the awareness on what you do. If the comparison or the monitoring that you do in that moment is helpful to you and you're conscious that you're doing it and that it could be harmful if you go too far, then you're fine because you're into the awareness.
Yeah.
But if you just like surround yourself with all kind of monitoring tools, I don't know, because I'm not doing it, but potentially, you know, one day you're gonna burn out because you have too many metrics about yourself. So we have to see. I don't know.
So on that note, I would like to wrap up our conversation. We've seen a beautiful insight view on how you do things, how you create balance, how you try to keep awareness of what's happening inside you, what's important for you, all while running a fast-growing business, Pocket Confidant. So yeah, I think very inspiring for the listeners and the viewers of the Grow Tribute podcast. But in the end, I think if I summarize correctly, then it's very personal for everyone what works for them. But I think it's inspiring to see what you are already doing. And the idea behind it is that you want to stay balanced, you want to grow, you want to improve, and you're looking for the things that help you personally.
Yeah, I think that's a path towards happiness, right? It's a balance between challenging yourself and being good with yourself. So you can observe society, your friends, family, like people around you, that there's so much content available to us today. It's a really big opportunity for everyone. So there are patterns, right? We tend to be the same and we do many things the same way. We think the same way, but we're also very different. So just searching for creating our own strategies, I think is a good way to be satisfied with ourselves all the time.
Awesome. I want to thank you for being here in the Grow Tribute podcast.
Yeah, that was a nice chat. Thanks.
Yeah, it was great chatting again. I learned a lot as well. And I will be thinking of new habits and what really works for me on moments that I just, when I'm reflecting, and then for the rest of the day, I'm just going to try to follow those habits and enjoy and do, and don't monitor myself constantly.
Sure. Yeah. Write yourself one or two questions on, you know, on your fridge or on your bedroom, and just one day you can have one question to think about so that it helps you.
All right. Yeah. Great words to end with. Thank you, Olivier. Well,
and have a good day, Dinesh. Yeah.
Speak again soon.
All right.
Okay. Ciao.
Bye.